This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here we go, Tuesday, December 10th, another rainy day. Today in the New Orleans area, 90% chance for showers. They said that neutral ground parking was allowed until 8 this morning, and I've not seen anything to extend it. Have you seen, Tim Zimmer, seen anything to extend it? I didn't get a text from Nola Reddy or anything like that, so maybe they'll extend it. But as the last I heard, you were supposed to move your car by 8 a.m. this morning, but yet still a chance for showers, so we'll see what they decide. Huh? Still 8 a.m. this morning, right? Neutral ground parking, that's what I thought. But yet still more heavy rain forecast for today, so we'll see what they do about that. Then, as you matriculate through the week, that clears up. Highs today of 74. Chance for showers lingers tomorrow. Nowhere near as much, though. And then highs tomorrow of only 58, 56 on Thursday. 63 on Friday for that Shaw State Championship game in the Dome. Noon on Friday. Tim Zimmer, I may have to break out the Letterman jacket from the class of and wear it. Justin Buechler joins us now, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, to talk about President-elect Trump's first interview. How you doing, Justin?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm okay, sir. Takeaways from the first interview, as I understand it, that former President Trump gave to Kristen Welker.
It's interesting that he gave one. I think right now the interesting thing from my perspective is we're sort of focused on the nominations for cabinet positions and some of the controversies like Robert F. Kennedy. So what's he going to have Robert F. Kennedy do? It's interesting that he actually gave the interview. It was a Trump interview. What are we going to say?
Tell me why you say it's interesting. And I would like you to, because I don't remember, Professor, with sports and Saints and LSU and so many things that I got that come across this desk. When it comes to President Trump's first term and the period between his election and inauguration, and traditional presidents and the period between their election and inauguration, is this any different? Tell me what's going on here.
So what's going on right now is during this period, the president-elect will start naming the people who will head the executive agencies and start negotiating with the Senate to make sure that the nominees will get confirmed. We've already had one person withdraw from consideration. That was Matt Gaetz as the nominee for attorney general. So in some ways it's relatively normal, but in some ways it's not, because not all of the nominees are conventional picks. We have some back and forth over some of the more controversial picks who remain, like Pete Hegseth and Tulsi Gabbard. We then have questions over exactly what the Department of Government Efficiency is going to do with Elon Musk. So there's a little bit more of an unusual aspect to a transition back to former President Trump, soon to be president again. But in some ways, it's relatively normal.
One thing that I'm wondering about is, and I don't mean this in any way disrespectfully to President Trump, he never has really seemed to me to be an ideologue. He has been a person that is personality driven, and he does seem to like a lot of attention toward himself. But I don't know that he necessarily has really expressed or strong. He seems more pragmatic than ideologic. Does that make sense to you, or is that just my imagination?
So I think the way that I would put it is slightly different. He has a very constrained set of positions that he holds sincerely. If you look at his record throughout his life, he has flip-flopped on a lot of issues. He's flip-flopped on, obviously, abortion. He's flip-flopped
on... Let me jump in for a second. Let me go right there. To me, for abortion, and I look at what he said here about he has no intention of making a day after abortion pill or he said he will not seek to impose restrictions on abortion pills. I don't know that he really has a strong opinion on abortion.
No,
what do you think?
Yeah, I think personally that's right. I think personally he doesn't have an opinion on abortion. If you go back much earlier in his life, he was probably somewhat more pro-choice. He then had to adopt a more pro-life position in order to run as a Republican. If you go back earlier in his life, he had taken a position of a more government intervention in healthcare. Then he ran as a Republican, so he had to oppose more government intervention as healthcare. But I think there are two positions that have been absolutely consistent throughout his life, which demonstrate a more sincere belief. One is he does believe in tariffs. He truly believes in tariffs.
Agreed.
He has always supported tariffs. The other is that he sincerely believes in restrictions on immigration. So those are the positions that he has held sincerely throughout his life. He has not flip-flopped on those at all. So I think the proper way to understand his positions is to say that he only really holds a very limited set of beliefs. On anything else, he will take whatever position is most convenient politically at the time.
And that,
but on tariffs and immigration, he really does hold sincere beliefs.
That summarized it perfectly, because that's what I was dancing around and couldn't quite get out of my mouth. When it comes to social issues, I don't think he really cares. I think he drifts to the hard right because that's where the votes are. That's what it took to get elected. I do know that and firmly believe that when it comes to immigrations and tariffs, he does have beliefs. He is ideological when it comes to that. Those things resonate with him. And I just wonder, when it comes to the fact that he will have no more elections, this is the last election he'll ever have, I just wonder about where this administration goes. And, of course, the cabinet choices that he's made have raised some eyebrows. But I just wonder if this administration is going to be more focused on tariffs with an eye toward the economy of the nation and immigration and the rest of the social issues about which some people are very concerned. I don't know if that will be as much of a concern or should be as much of a concern to them. But if you look at the cabinet nominations, I'm just wondering who he has to appeal to now, because we'll pick it up when we come back here. I'm trying to figure out, does he focus his administration on immigration and tariffs and then let the rest of it slide, or does he have to bargain on social issues with the far right in order to get his tariff and immigration policy imposed? Or, I'll throw one more in there, is he still the 1,000-pound gorilla in the room where the Senate and the House focus on what he tells them to focus on? So I think I've laid it out. We'll talk about it when we come back with Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University, talking about President Trump and his plans for his first couple of months in office. Back in a flash, traffic now, WWL. 6:25 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Looking at this text line, it amazes me. I get texts from two different numbers from people, and we're talking to Justin Buechler, Associate Professor of Political Science at Case Western Reserve University. And I don't mean to laugh at him, Professor, but they are so incensed and butthurt about me criticizing President Trump. I didn't say a word about President Trump. So apparently with some Trump supporters, unless you genuflect and bring golden sense, what is it, gold, frankincense, and myrrh to the crib, then apparently you're against him. And I didn't say a negative word about him at all. I'm just talking about what his administration would look like. But that being said, there are people that truly worship this man.
He has some very loyal fans. I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah.
So let's talk about January 6th. Pardons. He mentioned that the people that stormed the White House on January 6th, he would pardon. He also mentioned that maybe when it comes to the people on the committee, the January 6th committee, that current President Biden should pardon them. Thoughts on all of that, and how likely is that to be a priority for him, and could that derail whatever he attempts to do with his administration? And the two main issues, I think, as we agreed, would be immigration and tariffs.
Yeah. I think it is highly likely that he issues a lot of pardons for those prosecuted for January 6th. That's just highly likely. He has made that promise. It has been a political issue. It has been a galvanizing political issue for those on the right. So I think that it is highly likely that those pardons come. There was at least one person who was in some sort of trial. I don't remember the exact context, but he seemed to be rather blasé about the process, asserting that he was about to be pardoned anyway. So I think those pardons are highly likely. I don't see what the political consequences would be for Trump's political agenda. There will be obviously political backlash about it because January 6th is obviously pretty politically contentious for very obvious reasons. But those pardons are going to happen. Whether or not there will be more pardons from outgoing President Biden, that does tend to happen. I think we've already seen the most controversial Biden pardon. I don't see how it would get more controversial than that one. But it is somewhat traditional for an outgoing president to issue some controversial pardons on the last day or so, and that may happen. Regarding prosecutions of those involved in investigating January 6th, I don't see that happening. That seemed to be kind of an empty threat. I see no way that that could actually happen. One of the things that we do know about Donald Trump is that he makes a lot of noise and a lot of his threats are kind of empty. Unfortunately, some of them are not empty, and that's where you get into some problems. But I think the threat to prosecute people involved in investigating January 6th, those are probably empty threats.
I guess my question, Professor, before we run out of time, is who's driving the wagon now? Is President Trump driving the wagon and dictating what the Senate and the House look at in terms of, because he's hell-bent on immigration, and I'm not saying it's wrong, on immigration and tariffs, or does he continue to have to cater to the far right on some issues, and that's why I brought it up earlier, that he's not particularly concerned with, but made it seem as though he was, just like every politician, because you got to get votes?
Yeah, the quick answer is for immigration and tariffs, he can do a lot of that through executive action completely independently of the House and the Senate, and that's what he'll probably do. And the House and the Senate are going to pass a budget reconciliation bill, which will be a package of tax cuts, and that'll be that.
Thank you, Professor. Appreciate your time as always. 6:30, we'll talk to Rafael Goyeneche when we come back about the second line shooting, Jefferson Parish guns, crime in the metropolitan area, and more. Right now, time for WWL First News.